It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready, set. Just call me Swanee.
Tiger's time. Tiger's time.
Finally, Clemson Sports Talk has come back to Drive Time. Hello, everybody. Lawton Swan back in the saddle once again. It is the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk for you each and every afternoon as you make your way around the great state of South Carolina and beyond, listening to us on wonderful radio stations like Fox Sports Radio 1400 in the Midlands, around the world on the iHeart radio application. Okay. I think I'm going to count this, even though it's not the summer, as our first afternoon summer thunder shower of the year. I mean, 4 o'clock in the p.m. as we kick off the show, and it comes rolling through. So check that box off. And you know what I love about weather like this? I love how, so the day has been so hot, it's been muggy. And look, we've got listeners from coast to coast. So whether you're listening to us in California or New York City, let me tell you, you know what it's like to have that muggy, sticky weather. We had it all day in the Midlands of South Carolina. We had it this afternoon, but now you've got that cooling thunder shower coming down. And I mean, I can tell you, my air conditioner in my house, it truly does throw ice cubes. But when it rains like this in the afternoon, it's like being in a meat locker. And I'm okay with that. We went no video today. We'll be back on video tomorrow. And again, it's just personal preference. I don't know what it is with me right now. Maybe it's the end of the year from school wearing me down a little bit. Got your boy in a slump. But today was the final day for students. That may mean I rest easier. That may mean I come, you know, a little bit more refreshed, like a daisy, into the program, especially as we get through the summer with you. And the beach music, there's no doubt about it. We want to be able to rock and roll some of that with you here on the program. 803-450-0086, text line, phone line. Don't forget, you can call that number. You can text that number. And you can be a part of this program anytime, even if you're a podcast listener. And we challenge. I mean, we issue challenges, almost like they do in wrestling.
Ooh, yeah!
We issue challenges to those of you that listen to this program via podcast to participate. Keep Swanee on his toes. Keep him grooving. You know, many years ago, we used to do a thing on the program where we'd stick a pin in the map where our listeners were calling from. And I'm going to tell you, we had listeners calling this show from all over the globe, which, by the way, was pretty impressive. I mean, it's pretty neat when you get that text message or that tweet or that email from somebody listening to your show in Australia, Denmark, not South Carolina, the other Denmark. Almost said the actual, but you know, technically speaking, both actual Denmarks. And again, we do want to hear from you. Now, you know, college football, as we mentioned yesterday, could potentially be on the precipice of a big change with the envisioning of a 12-team college football playoff. And as we noted, you know, the big argument against this is going to be the number of games that these teams have to play and the stress and the concern about the players. And I don't know anybody that doesn't listen to that opinion and understand the validity behind it. I mean, I can't tell you a soul that doesn't understand that. But I will also say that if you are too pessimistic to understand that there are ways to work around this, that there are things that we can do to make it work, then, you know, I don't know why you got to be so down on things. And again, I don't know if going to 12 is perfect. I don't know if going to 6 is perfect. I don't know if a 10-team playoff is perfect. Like, I can't tell you what the perfect amount is. But I think the arguments over, well, I don't want the regular season to be watered down, aren't really valid. And I'm going to throw it to you like this. Would you prefer the system in which we currently have, where not only does the regular season become somewhat meaningless very early for a majority of teams, or would you rather make it where more teams are in competition to get into a playoff further into the season? Like, which does more for the sport, in your opinion? Watered down is what the bowl season currently is. That's why you don't like it. There's too many of them. The playoff would never be deemed, quote unquote, watered down if it were a 12-team playoff even. And I could make an argument probably that even in a 16-team playoff, you wouldn't consider it watered down, because you know what you would do for those 15 games or those 11 games or however many contests you got to have? Do you know what you would do for those games, unlike what you currently do for all of the meaningless bowl games that are played? You tune in and watch. And along the way to get to the 12-team playoff or the 16-team playoff or the 10-team playoff, you would have more games out there that meant something in the regular season. Now, I don't know about you, but you can take a moment and pick any random matchup that took place a year ago outside of a game late in the season involving Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and there's probably about a 95% hit rate that you're going to pick a game that meant absolutely nothing. And you know what? You didn't say, well, it really watered it down. Really, really watered down the back end of the season. But if you expanded the playoff and you went further down the list, you said, well, if you looked at games that didn't involve Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, you know, and you started to take a little 5 or 6 teams, 7 teams out of it, but there were still 9 spots available, you'd start to find 9 or 10 games around the country, maybe 20 games around the country in the final 2 weeks of the season that might have some panache, that might mean a little something, something. Again, if you listen to anyone and they say that an expanded playoff waters down the regular season, they don't understand what interest and intrigue in the late portions of the season would exist if more teams had the chance to get into the college football playoff. Do you know what games people worry about at the back end of the season now? Every Clemson game, every Alabama game, every Oklahoma game, every Ohio State game. About 5 teams people worry about now. And yes, that involves the other 5 teams they're playing against, which brings us to a grand total of 10 teams and a grand total of 5 games that might actually have some impact on the college football playoff. What about that other matchup, that other game? You know, well, yeah, that game is great if one of these other teams loses. Then that game really meant something, but prior to these other teams falling, it didn't. You expand the playoffs, and you expand the interest, and you expand the intrigue, and we finally get to a point. And again, I don't know what that magic number is. Four has clearly, in my opinion, worked. And I don't think we've ever walked out of a college football playoff and felt like, well, the team that won it didn't deserve it. Or the team that won it didn't go out and do it on the field. But when you are in this college football playoff mindset that less is more, I think you're forgetting the value that more would bring to the regular season and the value that the college football playoff being expanded would bring to eliminating some of those bowl games from existence and this is where I think the bowl games are missing the point on all of this for a few minutes. You just institute the bowl games into the playoff. Well, guess what, Sun Bowl? You're a first-round bowl game. Good news. Eyeballs, interest, money. Oh, well, congratulations, PollandWeedEater.com Bowl. You are now a first-round playoff game. Woohoo! Fans in your seats. Instead of stands in your seats. Because that's all a lot of these bowl games have, just stands. Just stands sitting there. And then, the occasional family member in attendance. Listen, again, I don't want to see this thing ever get to 64 teams. And I don't want to ever see the NCAA tournament in basketball end up being something where everybody qualifies. But I can tell you that the thought process behind the where we are truly watered down in college football, where we are absolutely watered down, is in the bowl games.
Well, sir, while I may not agree with what you say, I'll defend to the death your right to say it.
Well, if you don't agree with that, I don't know what you do from December the 18th through January the 1st, but flip it over to ESPN. Let me tell you, if you just tuned in to ESPN from about December the 18th, or maybe it's even earlier than that now, December the 14th, through January the 1st, if you could turn that watered down television and that. All right, so I think we're back up. Rob Sanders, I know, back in studio taking care of us, trying to get everything fixed up. Rob, if you can hear me, I am a go. Back up. Lightning in the midst of a hot segment here on the program. That's what happens, man. You get them riled up. You start telling the listeners, hey, if you don't. Well, sir. May not agree with me. We got a break coming up here, and I don't know if we actually got out to one with Rob or not, so I'm going to wait for a text message from him. What I'm going to do, though, just in case I get everything back up and running, is I'm just going to talk. So if we walk into this break, that'll be all right. We'll survive. If we don't walk into this break, we're also good to go.
Welcome back to Clemson Sports Talk. Join the show now at 978-1832 or text 803-450-0086.
It is the show that shakes the Southland back, lightning, like C.J. Spiller, boom goes the dynamite. You know, I've got a backup, what do you call it, a power supply, uninterrupted power supply. Even that was interrupted. But one, I guess, flaw in the way I do have it set up, and I'm going to get this straightened out, I guess, over the weekend. I won't do it until then, but. Kind of ironic, I mentioned the great thunder shower too coming through. But I don't have my router and my modem, so it wouldn't even help. It would even if I had it had not failed, which I'm not sure why the uninterrupted power supply failed outside of its age. I may have to get a new one, but or see if I can find maybe I can get a replacement battery. I don't know. I've never had to do that, but again, the whole thing would have gone down anyway because our internet went down with it. So there's only so much we could do. But Rob Sanders, Johnny on the spot. And you could be on the spot with Rob Sanders from 3 until 4 o'clock in the Midlands on Fox Sports Radio 1400, Alabama. Excuse me. the rundown with Rob Sanders, out of bounds with Quawk and Kelly in the upstate. You could tell Quawk was on the show the other day. All right, here we go. Back at it. So where were we? Well, we were talking about the college football playoff. And again, we kind of went into this a little bit yesterday, but I wanted to further just kind of push forward a little bit on the thought process behind, you know, when you hear this, the sentiment out there that it would water down the regular season. I mean, at this point, the regular season, outside of just a smidgen, a pinch, a dash, any other reference that a cook uses to a small amount of teams are in that conversation. And it goes away quick. You know, like I said the other day, talking with either Qualk or Mike Yuba. One thing about this that's incredibly frustrating is that there came a point where ESPN several years ago had to sell you on every one lost team is still in it. Great. Shouldn't they all be? Wouldn't that make for better football if every year every one lost team was still in it? Or perhaps even some two lost teams were still in it until late in the season? Wouldn't that be better for the sport, for every team involved, if there was more interest around the country in November? Wouldn't that be a positive thing? I mean, I would much prefer to have your interest and my interest consumed during the regular season on the battle to get into the postseason, and then on a great postseason with a playoff where we're tuning in versus not really having to focus on a ton of games and then watch some meaningless bowl games just so that teams can squeeze 15 practices in. Again, as I said yesterday, you could probably consolidate some of the bowls. I know the bowl executives don't want to hear that. They don't want to sit down with me at the ACC kickoff, and that's fine. We get the big boys. We get the Orange Bowl. We get the Chick-fil-A Bowl. We get the big boys. But those other executives don't want to sit down with us and talk about consolidation for sure because they don't want to lose whatever money comes in. But again, I think if you do it right, I could probably make an argument. And I have zero math numbers or data in front of me. That I'm making up a bowl name here. The Raisinette Bowl, which sounds phenomenal, that the Raisinette Bowl would generate more money being a playoff game every other year than it would to just be the Raisinette Bowl for the rest of its existence. I mean, I could honestly make that argument that it being in a rotation to be a part of the playoff every other year, and then if you still wanted to have a meaningless bowl game at the Raisinette Bowl in those off seasons where you're not in the playoff, fine. Dude, at least your bowl would mean something every other year. At least it would mean something. People would tune in and watch it. When's the last time you locked into one of these meaningless bowl games on the four-letter network? As Chris Jericho would say, never. Did you lock in? I mean, that's one of the big differences. These games would mean something. And again, any host that tells you an expanded playoff would water down the regular season does not understand how much more important more games would be with a playoff that were larger than four teams. Now, again, I can't tell you if that magic number is 16, 12, or 10. I certainly don't believe it's 32.
because I do believe you cross over into a threshold of where, why is this team in the playoff? I can agree with that part of the argument against. But I can't agree with the regular season would be watered down or that more games would feel meaningless. More games would be more important. More games would have value. And I think that's what we all want at the end of the day. 803-450-0086, 803-450-0086. Actually, just receiving a message here from the ACC. And it has an interesting title. Statement from the Autonomy Five Conferences on today's hearing about name, image, and likeness legislation. I have yet to read this. It literally just arrived in my inbox at 4:30 in the p.m. on June 9th. I will assess it during the break, and we will break it down with you right here on the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk, on a rainy, now sunny, and what I can only assume has become once again steamy Wednesday afternoon. Text line, phone line, 803-450-0086. It is the show that shakes the Southland. Keep it locked with us here on Fox Sports Radio 1400 for more Clemson Sports Talk. Stay with us.
Broadcasting from the TrueCar.com studios, this is Columbia's Fox Sports Radio 1400.
Clemson Sports Talk, Lawton Swan with you. Okay, so I may be dumber having read through this information. I'm not sure exactly what this is saying. Statement from the Autonomy Five Conferences on today's hearings about name, image, and likeness legislation in the Senate Commerce Committee. First off, the Autonomy Five Conferences. Which is just a bizarre name for the Power Five conferences, as I understand it, the A5 conferences. Why that name is chosen, I'm not really even sure. Although that is the terminology that the Power Five conferences have used when addressing Congress to enact framework for a national policy based on image, use, and likeness. I'd love to say this is the first time that I have seen it, but looking further, I must have read it at some point along the way. The statement reads, the Autonomy Five Conferences thank Chair Maria Cantwell and Ranking Member Roger Wicker for today's hearing and their determination to set a fair and enforceable standard, national standard, on name, image, and likeness. Only Congress can pass a national solution with student athlete name, image, and likeness rights. The patchwork of state laws that begins on July the 1st will disadvantage student athletes in some states and create an unworkable system for others. As leaders in college athletics, we support extending name, image, and likeness rights in a way that supports the educational opportunities of all student athletes. including collegians in Olympic sports, who comprised 80% of Team USA at the Rio Games. We continue to work with Congress to develop a solution for name, image, and likeness and expanded opportunities. Now, again, this seems to harken back on my belief that large market programs, programs in Los Angeles, programs maybe a Rutgers, you know, anybody within a proximity of a large city, to me would create a advantageous situation where if a student athlete, you know, were the, you know, and this is how this works. Like, you're not allowed to promise a gift or anything to these student athletes even after they leave your school. But man, it's hard not to think that if you're out in LA at UCLA, you're not saying to kids, look, man, you come here, look at the billboards. Look at the opportunity for you with your name, image, and likeness. How much money do you think you can bring in here? And you're not telling them, hey, we'll pay you. You're telling them, hey, how much money do you think you could bring in? And believe me, the amount of money you could bring in potentially on a billboard in Los Angeles is much greater than it is at Clemson University. And it's not as if you have expenses. Now, what the players probably never understood about all this legislation, and this is where I think Ed O'Bannon and that whole deal just went sideways so many years ago, is, you know, one of the things that players have never had to worry about is taxes. They've never had to worry about that aspect of what they got for being student athletes. And now, I mean, you're opening up a whole nother ball of wax in addition to the distribution that these conferences want to have for everyone across the board. You know, the football program has essentially at most schools always founded virtually everything else that goes on. And it's the reason that you get to the point now with Clemson's track team and the men's track team being in some trouble during the time where you've got to, you know, deal with Title IX legislation, but also where the finances get very difficult for these schools. You know, I don't know if, and I've never really felt like this was a great thing for the sport. I've never really felt like it was a great thing for the individual player. And I honestly don't know how many players across the board really care all that much. I mean, the way I've always seen it, the marketable players, the guys who could really make some coin in college off of their image, use, and likeness, their image, name, and likeness, is minimal, and the majority of them are probably going to go on and play in the NFL of those guys. I would say that the quarterback at most universities would be maybe the biggest outlier of that little factoid. But other than that, it's probably going to be your quarterback and the top player, you know, the other top player on your team, but that's about it. I mean, you could even take Jake Bentley, for example, a kid I don't think will ever play in the NFL. Jake Bentley at South Carolina's name would have been marketable while he was the starting quarterback for, like, local banks. I mean, I could see some people, you know, I could see a little bit of that. But most players on the team, not marketable. Not marketable at all. Again, that was the release from the Autonomous Five conferences. Again, just trying to find a balance, a balancing act, so to speak, or a balance between, I think, based on my reading, all the markets across the country. We had a quick break. We'll come back with more of the show that shakes the Southland. It is the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk. Lawton Swine with you Wednesday afternoon. Again, podcast will be up later this evening. Thank you to Rob Sanders again when we had the power outage earlier. I wonder how that'll sound. He's going to pull that first segment off of what we call the air check server back at iHeart. And I'll piece it together with what we're recording now and just say quick prayer that the show doesn't go down again. I don't want to lose what I got, if you know what I mean. 803-450-0086. Text line and phone line. Wide open to you. Lots of conversations to get into. We talked a little college football playoff again. Talked a little Autonomy 5 and the name, image, and likeness legislation that's going on. And again, a situation, I think, for college football coaching staffs, athletic administrators, and presidents that I don't know that we ever thought we'd really have to deal with. And again, the taxation side of things for me, from the student athlete's perspective, is another part of the deal that may be an unintended consequence of a move like this. I think also locker room and chemistry issues from players and jealousy of, you know, why is player X getting this and I'm getting little to none, or, you know, how does all of that work? Because no matter how big of a star you were in a lot of respects, outside of media attention and trophies at the end of the season or being nominated for trophies at the end of the season, everybody was on equal footing. Whether you were playing football at Clemson, TCU, or Boise State, you were all sort of on equal footing. You were going to college for free for the most part. You had very few expenses. Like, that was the thing that always really bugged me about the argument. And I get it, players can't work. Players can't have a job during the season. They got way too much stuff going on. And, you know, you can't have these, you can't hire these guys to come do yard work or whatever and pay them $1 zillion for an hour worth of yard work. And there were people that were trying to do, you know, all kind of scandalous things across the country to hand cash to these players at an unreasonable rate. But when you push it to this level and you start talking about how we're going to handle it when only certain players are going to be able to earn anything or have an image that's worth anything, who are we really helping? And honestly, you know, where things really probably, all right, I think probably this is where most of it went south, is the football aspect of the college should have probably kicked more into every other sport than they did into their own pocket. And instead, what happened was, and everybody gets it because everybody wants to have a winning football team, all that money gets pumped back into your football team for the most part. They get the best facilities. They get their own facilities. They have this, they have that, that other people, running track and playing tennis and doing this, that, and the other don't have. Because why? Well, they don't bring in any money. So they shouldn't have what the football players have. And then the coach at the football program gets paid $2 million a year. Next thing you know, it's $4 million a year. And then it's $8 million a year. Then it's $10 million a year to coach football. while the other coaches on campus are making $200,000, $67,000. You know, what some of you make or make more than or, you know, consider a reasonable salary. And then once it turned into that and started to look from the outside like a cash grab for the coaches and all the assistants and on and on and on the things that Frank Howard never had, it was just like, man, what are we doing here? These players are busting their hump and they're not getting any of the financial benefit of it. You know what people weren't complaining about in 1960? Why college football players weren't getting paid. Because Frank Howard wasn't making much money. I mean, it's just the nature of what's happened around the sport. And the more the programs got bigger, the more the gap began to exist. The more the players started seeing everything going on around them, the more voices started speaking out. But now you got yourself in this pickle where we're going to make these changes, but we don't know how to make it fair. Like before, everything was equal for the student athlete, except for the fact that everybody was looking at, they were looking at going, we're not getting any of the money. But everything was equal. Now it's just, it's, and again, I believe there should be a stipend for every player. I mean, I believe these things. Since they can't work, they should be able to get money. They can get grants. They can even get grants. At least they used to be able to get grants in addition to their scholarship for like food and clothing, like almost $6,000. Let me tell you, $6,000 when you're a college kid, dude, that'll last you. That'll last you a while. It probably should last you the entire year, honestly, if you don't have to pay for food and housing and everything else. But we've got this, now we got this snowball coming downhill rapidly, and it's out of control. And that's a problem. Hour two, flip side. Stay with us.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready, set.
Just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
Is hour number two. That's drive time right here on the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk. Lawton Swan with you along for the ride, hanging out, having a good time. Hope you are as well. Again, what a crazy, crazy episode. We began with thunder showers moving through, a power outage in the first segment. I think that turned the power off, though, on the conversations that we had about the college football playoff. Go back, catch the podcast. You didn't miss anything. Yeah, I know it went off, but you didn't miss anything because we didn't talk. Everything was down. But we got it all back up and ready to rock and roll. Now, the other day on the program, I mentioned the fact that it was looking more and more like the Houston Texans were ready to move on from Deshaun Watson, essentially turning their focus and attention to Tyrod Taylor. Well, now word is out that, hey, there are at least teams Deshaun Watson's interested in, and I don't know that that hadn't been the case the whole time. I mean, that's sort of the reason many people believe that all of these allegations cropped up about DW4 was because he wanted to leave Houston. And there were speculation and rumors from individuals out there that Houston was a part of this covert plan to besmirch the name of Deshaun Watson in hopes of keeping him. Now, I don't know how many people buy into that theory, but that theory is out there. There are others that would say that Deshaun Watson is being targeted. There are others that would say Deshaun Watson targeted these massage therapists. There are so many sides to and ways to look at this Deshaun Watson situation. All that being said, former Houston Texan Kareem Jackson, who is now a member of the Denver Broncos, was on a podcast recently and said that I've been talking to Deshaun the last couple of weeks, man, and all he's been telling me is like, Jack, just tell him that's where I want to be. He's like, I want to be in Denver. Now, Deshaun Watson, again, at this point, with a lawsuit that's pending, with the legal side of everything he's going to be going through, plus the possibility of the NFL handing down some sort of conduct policy against him, we really don't know what that will look like for Deshaun Watson. And we honestly don't know if any team would be willing to take on Deshaun Watson at this time. What has become increasingly more obvious is that the Texans are prepared to move on without Deshaun Watson, whether that be Watson not in Houston, Watson in Houston and suspended. Who knows, in all honesty? But what we do know is that the odds that Deshaun Watson takes a snap as the number one quarterback for the Houston Texans again, from this observer's perspective, from the perspective of this observer, that's easier. From this observer's perspective, there, had to slow it down a little bit, is I don't know that he will. I don't think that he will, by virtue of a multitude of issues that are surrounding him at this point. But word is, more than just Jackson would like Watson playing with him. And again, it's because, forget everything that you've heard about the off-the-field stuff that's cropped up recently. Like, if you just put your blinders onto that for a minute and you talk about performance on the field, he's one of the top four or five quarterbacks in the league. And those guys that play the game the way he plays it, with the presence that he has in the pocket, if he was on the right team, they don't grow on trees. You don't find them in the draft. It is a rare, rare bird. And that will help Deshaun Watson, assuming these legal issues get cleared up or rectified, or the cash payments or what litigated. You know, once this stuff comes to an end, let me tell you, the one thing that Deshaun Watson's got going for him is how extremely talented he is on the football field. That can wash away a lot of the problems, especially the problems in the rearview mirror for the next teams that take him on. There's not a team in the league, in my opinion. Not a team in the league. Unless, you know, you say, well, Kansas City, Swanee. You know, but if you just talk about, okay, take the top quarterback from all the teams in the league, and from some of them, you don't even have to do that, but, you know, if you just say, all right, Pat Mahomes, we're taking him off the list for a second. Every team in the league would want this guy. I mean, seriously. And so now, as fans, you just wait and watch, and as Clemson fans, I think you hope that this stuff gets cleared up, that his name gets cleared, and I don't know that it will. I don't know if he'll ever be able to return to that polished, almost impeccable backdrop that surrounded him. I don't know if he can ever get that back. There are some stains that just don't wash off. And for Deshaun Watson, this could be one of those stains if indeed the allegations turn out to be true. And maybe even more disappointing for Deshaun Watson personally is that even if the allegations were to turn out to not be true, there's the recognition that, yeah, but people are always gonna believe that they are true. And that is also, and there's no question, that's tough for, and would be tough for Deshaun Watson. I can't imagine. Can you imagine if you were actually innocent of something and you were never convicted of anything in court, but the court of public opinion convicted you? I'm going to just tell you, I don't know how I'd handle that. That would be rough, especially if you knew you were innocent. I mean, that would be rough. And I don't have the answer for Deshaun Watson, and it would take probably a lot of counseling to figure it out. 803-450-0086. But there is interest, at least from Watson's standpoint, in getting out of Houston. We kind of knew that, but now we're getting more details on it from some of his former teammates that he's talked to about going out and wanting to play somewhere else. Could it be the Denver Broncos? 803-450-0086. Text line, phone line. 803-450-0086. You know, one of the other things, too, that we've kind of been following here on the program over the past couple of weeks is all of the advancements with recruiting that have been taking place. And certainly, we've talked a good bit about Arch Manning. We've mentioned the fact that DJ Uiagalelei's brother, Mateo, was on campus and the connection that those two made. But I tweeted or retweeted a tweet from Big Dave Uiagalelei, who is DJ's dad. And DJ's cousin, Nico, is an up-and-coming quarterback in the 2023 class out of California. And a pretty big kid, by the way. And listen, as long as it took me to get DJ's name right, it'll be even tougher for me to get Nico's last name right, because I've never heard anybody say it. I said it the other day. I'm Oliva. I'm not sure if that's how you say it, but he's a pretty big kid. Nico is probably 6'5", maybe 6'6". And he's been on the tour. You know, he was at Clemson. He was at Georgia. He was at Alabama, taking it all in. Let me get his exact height and weight. I may have brought it up the other day. 6'5", 195 right now. He has offers from UCLA, Southern Cal, Alabama, Arizona, on and on and on down the list. Now, again, he's a 2023, so you wouldn't expect, you know, at this point, given the way Clemson is pretty stingy with their offers, that they're just going to throw one out there. But offers from Ohio State and others, right? I mean, he's got a laundry list of teams. But that was a picture, and we retweeted it, of Nico and I believe Big Dave or Nico's, I was going to say Big Dave's brother, but I'm not sure who that is. It must be this guy. This gentleman looks a lot like Dave. But they're with Bryce Young, quarterback at Alabama. And one person on social media, because in this photo, Bryce Young looks like he's about 5'7", 110 pounds. I mean, Bryce Young looks so small. And that's what we tweeted. And one individual, commemorative small market helmets, at small helmets, on social media said maybe there's a little forced perspective, but they are still a good bit larger than Bryce. And that's the thing. Like, I don't believe that, because if you look at it, they look about 6'8" standing behind Bryce Young. But if you look up Bryce Young's height and weight at Alabama, they got him at 6 foot, 194 pounds. And I'm going to tell you, if he's 6 foot, then I'm an astronaut. Now, he might weigh 195 pounds. But if you go look at that photo that we put out on social media, and we retweeted at least, If Bryce Young is 6 feet tall, I'm telling you, I am an astronaut, because I 5'10", maybe might be 6 foot in his cleats, and I'm not a tall guy. I'm not a huge guy by any means, but you got to go look at the photo. You just got to see it. Because if you just went off a height alone and you said, okay, I know that Nico is 6'5", then you would think that Bryce Young is about 5'6". He looks a foot and 3 inches taller than Bryce Young. It's almost hilarious. It's almost hilarious. I got to chuckle. Like, at first when I saw the picture, I'm like, well, who's this guy in the middle? And then it's like, Bryce Young? Alabama starting quarterback in the upcoming season? No. You got to go check it out. Take a minute. At Clemson Sports on Twitter, we retweeted it. Again, a great story up today about a young man who actually was born in South Carolina, a standout prospect from over in the Peach State, who recently spoke with our very own Tyrese Ingram about his visit to Clemson, the family aspect of the Tigers, the academics, the academic side of his recruitment, all of that for our premium subscribers over on our website, Clemson ClemsonSportsTalk.com, ClemsonRadio.com will get you there as well. But again, I think, you know, as we kind of watch Mateo Uiagalelei's remaining career games out at St. John Bosco in California, you know, if you look at how good that program is built, Coach Jason Negro was on our program before the Notre Dame game, I believe, this past season, the first Notre Dame game. You know, one of the things that program has been able to do is honestly put together an incredible roster. They got a very, very good offensive lineman, Ernest Green, there at St. John Bosco. I believe he's the top-ranked player in California. You got Mateo, who is a blossoming, rising junior. You see Clemson already go out and get DJ. Clemson got Bo Collins from there. This is a team that was the national champions a couple of years ago in high school football. And Clemson's trying to solidify their opportunities with these individuals and continue to build that West Coast connect. Certainly bringing in a guy like Mateo would be a big deal at 6'6", 265 pounds right now. Probably, you know, I don't know where Big Dave wants him to play. Big Dave talks about he can line up at wide receiver. I kind of mentioned that. His dad's a great salesman. I almost think he's going to be a defensive end, potentially. But in addition to that, you know, I'll be interested to follow Nico's recruitment and just seeing if Clemson, you know, obviously with one eye towards Arch Manning, could DJ Uiagalelei's cousin actually be another guy that Clemson's eyeballing to bring across the country to be in that quarterback room and to potentially be the starting quarterback for Clemson at some point down the line. I'll tell you this, too, though. It's just exciting to have these kids on campus. I can't lie to you. And Dabo Swinney's got some more camps coming up here in the next few days. And honestly, it makes you a little bit giddy just being able to talk about it. We had a quick break. We'll update you on the NBA when we get back. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Swanee. Aren't you going to update us on our Carolina Hurricanes? Yeah, they're done. There's your NHL update. Tampa Bay 2, Carolina 0. Tampa Bay wins the series 4-0. The other matchup last night in the NHL was Vegas and Colorado. Vegas won it 3-2 in overtime. I don't know if I'll give you another hockey update here on the show. The road to Lord Stanley's Cup is concluded in Raleigh. Their Twitter account, though, is still spectacular. Again, they may be one of the best followers in sports because, you know, the Duke's Mayo Classic, the bowl game in the preseason matchup between Clemson and Georgia, that's also another good account because they are, is the word self-deprecating? Is that how you say it? You know, they'll pick on themselves. They'll pick on you. They'll do a little of this, a little of that. Like, both of those accounts are great because they honestly understand that it's all just fun. Some people don't get it, though. Like, some people just don't get the humor. Like, it's a sarcastic account. I saw websites posting articles about this. Let me tell you, the day Clemson Sports Talk posts an article about something ridiculous like that, you can just hang it up on my website, okay? These sites these Twitter accounts are supposed to be humorous. They're having fun. They're generating hits and interest. They're not actually not actually, you know, meaning the things that they say. They're having a good time. Anyway, in the NBA last night, if I may shift away from the NHL here on the program, in the NBA last night, we had a couple of games. Philadelphia got all square in their series with Atlanta. Huge win for the 76ers. I don't have the numbers in front of me from a historical perspective, but in my life, going down 2-0, especially when you're the home team, does not end well traditionally. All Atlanta has really done right now is stolen home court advantage, but the good news for Philadelphia is you go win one in Atlanta, and you're all back to good. And if you win both in Atlanta, you head back home up 3-1. So for Philly, huge win, 118-102. Utah took a one-game-to-none lead over the Clippers with a 112-109 final yesterday. And that matchup, by the way, was tight throughout the contest. Utah, however, poured it on in the second half to come from behind after trailing. And I don't know if Game 7 for Los Angeles finally caught up with them. You know, having just played against Dallas a couple of days ago while Utah was able to rest a little bit, Donovan Mitchell scored 45 points in the contest. Again, Utah takes a 112-109 victory in Game 1. Tonight in the NBA, Phoenix, who has been an absolute, well, they've been on fire. Probably great for the Suns to be on fire. They look to take a 2-0 lead over Denver, 9:30 on TNT, and there was an interesting article about their pick and roll play over on ESPN and how that has been a big key to their success. And boy, you kind of watch Devin Booker blossom before your eyes. And the thing I took away from watching them take on the Los Angeles Lakers is the fact that the thing that LA is missing, and I know LeBron is the straw that stirs the drink, and I get it. I still believe LeBron James is probably the top player in the NBA, certainly a top five player in the NBA. And when healthy, he's probably a top three again, if not the best player in the NBA, in my opinion. The guy I would want, the guy I would pick first, even in an advanced age for an NBA player. But Anthony Davis couldn't stay healthy. LeBron, coming off of a high ankle sprain, wasn't 100%. But what they lack is a shooter the likes of a Steph Curry, the likes of a Devin Booker, you know, someone that you can just count on in a majority of your ball games to hit between 5 and 8 three-pointers. They don't have it. You know, Damian Lillard, they don't have it. James Harden, they don't have it. And I know some will say, well, what does that say about your boy LeBron, Swanee? To me, LeBron has never been what I would label as a, quote, shooter. Can he hit the big shot? Sure. Can he shoot the basketball? Absolutely. But LeBron James, to me, has never been a pure shooter. LeBron James is a scorer. LeBron James is an all-around incredible athlete and basketball player, from his court vision to his rebounding to his ability to power to the basket through contact. I mean, all of that is what makes LeBron James who he is. But they have never had, and really, you know, that Ray Allen type player is the thing that LeBron James needs. A guy that you can just dish the ball to, let him knock down the three, and get out of the way. That's what they need in Los Angeles. And, man, you watch the Suns and just the way they are attacking right now with Chris Paul. They got Ayton in the middle. But more importantly, a shooter and a confident shooter like Devin Booker with the ball in his hands, man, they are tough. Again, the Suns and the Nuggets tonight, 9:30 on TNT. Phoenix looks to take a 2-0 lead in the series. Speaking of LeBron real quick, going to be changing jerseys. LeBron apparently going to switch from number 23 back to number 6. He wore 6 with the Heat and in international competition with the Team USA many years ago. So LeBron going to break out the number 6 jersey. You know what that means? Ka-ching jersey sales for LeBron James next season.
Fox Sports Radio 1400. Serving Columbia at 1400. The world on the iHeartRadio app.
Happy Wednesday, the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk. So we were talking a little bit about the NBA and, you know, obviously for Clemson Tiger fans, not a ton of interest in that league because, well, you don't have really a player worth following. Kind of harkens me back to the myths of being able to land Zion Williamson and all the hubbub that came along with his recruitment and where that all led us in the sports media side of things. But on football, you did just have the number one overall draft pick, Trevor Lawrence. And, of course, Lawrence, who came off of or is coming off of off-season shoulder surgery to his non-throwing shoulder, has already been out a little bit, thrown around in some of their rookie camp stuff. But even though the season is 3 months away, Trevor Lawrence is dealing with a hamstring issue. He did, however, take part in 7-on-7 drills, but hamstring tightness kept him out of the 2-minute and red zone drills. Now, whether or not this is cause for concern for Lawrence in Jacksonville, probably not. You would believe with all of the treatments and therapies and everything that these guys have, both collegiately and at the NFL level, that he'll be fine. But according to reports, Lawrence did not perform well during Tuesday's mini camp. Some have projected that it could have been because of his hamstring, but he threw, wait for it, 2 pick sixes during the 7-on-7 drills. Now, if you know my thoughts on it, then this will be a little bit repetitive for you. If you don't know my thoughts on it, where have you been all this time? But I'll be honest with you. Again, I don't believe the best case scenario for Trevor Lawrence is to play immediately in year one. I certainly don't think it's in the best interest for the Jacksonville Jaguars to play him immediately. And I don't give a rat's patootie, about the Offensive Rookie of the Year award. You know what I want to see? A surrounding cast that can lead him to a successful start to his career. You know what I want to see? A healthy Trevor Lawrence beginning the 2022 season with more talent around him. Now, again, forget all of his accolades, forget all of the success, forget the fact that you and I and everybody else knew that he was going to be the number one draft pick. You could almost feel it in your bones watching him throw the football in high school. But you get him banged up in year one, maybe as much mentally as physically, and you're ruining what I think has a chance to be a potential Pro Bowler, and maybe if he has the right career, a Super Bowl champion, and possibly, if things really go well for him, a future Hall of Famer is what Lawrence could be if all things go well. But where they sour is if you damage the 6 inches between his ears before he really gets his feet settled in the NFL. Now, again, should the hamstring injury be a big issue over the long haul? Not. Should the non-throwing shoulder be a big issue over the long haul? Not. Can you mess up a virtuoso by putting him in a bad spot too early in his career? Absolutely. So if you want my opinion on it, again, if you're listening out there, Coach Urban Meyer, take it easy with Big Trev the Giant Killer. He doesn't need to kill Giants in 2021. Let Big Trev soak up the knowledge. And then in 2022, release the hounds. Let him eat. Let the big dog eat. But for now, the Giant Killer needs to be crushing the playbook, needs to be crushing the system, needs to be crushing it at practice. And you guys on the gridiron need to be getting crushed so that you can bring in more talent and let Big Trev do his thing next season. Offensive Rookie of the Year, not interested. You know what I'm interested in if I'm Trevor Lawrence? My well-being for the long haul of my career and where that is best set in place when you're joining a team that won a singular game a year ago, went 1-15. The best place that begins for a starting quarterback is by surrounding him with better talent before you put him out there. 803-450-0086. Text line, phone line. I don't know where the time went. We had a, I know. You typically, Swanee, you give us 2 hours of Sports Talk Radio here. Hurry up and no huddle. But today you only gave us an hour and 50 because you had a 8 to 10 minute hitch in the giddy up. I get it. We can't help the power went out. But since the power has returned, so has the moxie, and the show that shakes the Southland is still a rocking and a rolling for you on a Wednesday afternoon, and I can't believe we're up against the break for our final segment coming up here in just a few minutes. You got me, people. You got me. I have no idea how these things happen. It's like it's almost like a time warp. Like I get in here and I get going, and boom, goes the dynamite. Show's almost over. Final segment coming up right around the bend for you here on the show that shakes the Southland. Again, our website with great premium content up right now, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. But I hate typing. ClemsonRadio.com will get you there as well. We hit a break, we come back, and we put a big old bow on the show next.
What have you done for me lately? It's a fair question. Just don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Don't forget history. Lucky for us at Clemson, the answer to the questions, what have you done for me lately, and what have you done always, are the same. We win. We'll be right back.
final segment on a Wednesday, a day that started with a lightning storm and power outage, ending, fortunately, not talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning any longer. Texas A&M stayed in state with their latest hire when it comes down to college baseball, and actually went to TCU and got Jim Schlossnagel, who led TCU to 5 College World Series, to come coach the Aggies. Honest to goodness, when Rob Childress was let go when his contract wasn't renewed after the Aggies missed the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2006, I kind of wondered where they would go. I did not anticipate that they would be able to reach in state to the Horned Frogs program and pull off what I would call a pretty big coup. Schlossnagel was 734, 346 at TCU. Went to the College World Series in 2010. Made 4 consecutive trips to Omaha from 2014 to 2017. And again, they were back in the college baseball playoffs this year. Texas A&M, on the other hand, went to the College World Series twice under Coach Childress in 2011 and 2017. In the Women's College World Series Championship Series between the Florida State Seminoles and Oklahoma, the Noles got the job done in the opener with an 8-4 win Tuesday night. Of course, Florida State, you'll recall from the ACC tournament, was a team that Clemson did not face this year. They were knocked off by Duke, the eventual ACC champions who knocked off Clemson. But currently, now Florida State knocking on the national championship's door. Florida State, technically, would be playing for or going for their second consecutive national title, as there was no championship a season ago due to COVID-19. And the Seminoles won the title the previous season. So again, incredibly, Oklahoma, who has been spot on all season, spot on all year, they struggled a little bit with James Madison, and now are on the brink of elimination at the hands of the Florida State Seminoles. They had to move the games because of weather. Let me see when this final matchup is set to take place. Tonight at, let's see, what time? That's a good question. Let me see if I can get this for you real quick. One win away from the national title are the Seminoles, and that matchup is scheduled to take place. Golly, why are some of these things so hard to find? Tonight at 7 o'clock. There you go. Tonight at 7 o'clock. Florida State, if they win, they are the champs for what would technically be a second consecutive season. So there you go. Oklahoma, by the way, is 54-4 on the season. That tells you how good the Oklahoma Sooners have been. But Florida State, again, after staving off elimination, is one win away from a national championship. And, you know, I think that's good for Clemson, honestly, for the Clemson softball team. Again, it's disappointing they didn't get to face Florida State this past season. But it gives them a measuring stick again that they didn't get a chance to have this past year, the next time they hook up with the Seminoles. And personally, I think there's huge value in that. I think there's incredible value in that opportunity for the Lady Tigers down the road. Again, 803-450-0086, text line and phone line. 2018 national champion. So 2019, now my years. Yeah, so this is the 2020, I guess. Yeah, that would be right. That would be right. I could be wrong on that. Maybe there's a national championship there in 2018. They went to the Super Regionals of 2019. So technically not back-to-back. They won it in 2018. I apologize. All right, we gotta get out of here. Up against the end of the show. Until tomorrow, thank you for hanging out with us. As always, you can head over to our website, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. And be a part of the show anytime, any place, anywhere. Until next time, as always, y'all take care now. And go Tigers!
Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan. On-